So let's go through some of the controversies that have come out since this initial splash of exciting data. And one, I think, relates to the issue of chemotherapy with trastuzumab. Of course, all these studies have combined chemotherapy with trastuzumab. And one question is, what about trastuzumab without chemotherapy? Older patient, a patient who you kind of normally wouldn't want to give chemo to. We know that trastuzumab alone also has efficacy in metastatic disease. What about in the adjuvant setting?
So trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting by itself is likely active. We have no prospective data to show how active it would be, but it probably would be active. One of the difficulties, though, is that the patient that has comorbidities that are severe enough to prohibit the use of good cytotoxic chemotherapy, in general, is going to be an older patient, likely with underlying cardiac disease. And we know that one of the major toxicities of trastuzumab is cardiomyopathy, and that the cardiomyopathy is related to age or the frequency of it. And so it's the sort of patient population that you might consider single-agent trastuzumab is the patient population where you're going to get the same sort of toxicity experience likely that you would get with chemotherapy.
Although I guess the issue is how much toxicity is seen in terms of cardiac toxicity with trastuzumab and how much of it is related to having received anthracycline such as adriamycin, which is pretty common.
We don't know for sure, at least in the adjuvant setting. Certainly some of the cardiac toxicity is related to the anthracycline, but probably not all.
It just looked like one of the trials did use chemotherapy that didn't include an anthracycline. That was the BCRG trial, and it looked like there they didn't see very much cardiac toxicity.
They didn't see nearly as much cardiac toxicity in the TCH arm
right. As
they did in the AC followed by T plus trastuzumab.
And I guess that's really a big area of controversy, at least among the medical oncologists right now, is which chemo, if you're going to use it, to add to the trastuzumab.
Medical oncologists love to argue endlessly about the optimal chemotherapy.
Right.
And there are probably a number of different chemotherapies that are much, much more similar in efficacy in this situation than they are different.
I guess the other thing, too, that's kind of good is that it doesn't seem like other than, you know, this, I guess, what would you say, up to 4% risk of heart failure? Would you go with that number?
Well, I think 4% is the number overall sort of in the patient mix in the clinical trials. I think it actually in application is likely to be somewhat greater than that, probably greater than that for several reasons. One is that the clinical trials excluded women who had any history of significant cardiac disease. They also did compulsive monitoring of cardiac function that hopefully people in practice are doing, but it's likely it's not quite as compulsive. Also, there's a lot of selection bias for who goes on to clinical trials that tend to be healthier women and so forth. And as people become more and more comfortable with a therapy like adjuvant trastuzumab, they tend to use it in patients with increasing amounts of comorbidity. So I think we'll actually probably see a higher than 4% frequency of cardiac toxicity when all is said and done.
It's interesting. Now, these patients, after they finish the chemo, keep going with the trastuzumab out to a year. What's quality of life like on trastuzumab alone without chemo? How do these patients feel?
Well, the usual patient experience with adjuvant trastuzumab is the toxicity is really going into the infusion center and getting the intravenous access. The actual trastuzumab itself is associated with essentially after the first or second infusion where hypersensitivity reactions occur, the infusions themselves then become virtually non-toxic. There's no hair loss, there's no nausea, there's no diarrhea, there's no fatigue. It's really quite well tolerated. The toxicity that we worry about, though, is the cardiomyopathy. And the goal, of course, with the cardiac monitoring is to try to detect the cardiac injury before the patient develops symptomatic congestive heart failure.
Now, what's the long-term outlook for those women who do develop cardiac problems?
Well, we don't know what the long-term outcome is. We know what the intermediate outcome is. And the intermediate outcome looks like many of them, but not all of them, have improvement in cardiac function. It's one of the situations where the involvement of a cardiologist skilled in the management of patients with cardiomyopathy is very helpful in terms of initiating management with the ACE inhibitors and the beta blockers can substantially help to improve and maintain and potentially even reverse some of the cardiac toxicity.